Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
Well, we are wrapping up this three-week series right in the eye, and I'm glad not only to have those of you here in the main worship center, but also our friends over in the Resonate service, as well as those who are watching online on our website or listening later on to the podcast. Glad you're all here as we conclude this series right in the eye. It's based upon the book of Judges. And the book of Judges covers a period in Israel's history just after Moses had led the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, and then Joshua, his successor, brought them on to the promised land, all the way up to where King Saul and King David became rulers over Israel. There was a period of just over 300 years where there was no earthly king in Israel. And Israel was divided into 12 states that were like commonwealths in that they each had a common ancestry, they had a common history, they had a common religion, a common culture, but they had 12 different tribes that were based upon the 12 sons of Jacob. And throughout the nation of Israel, there was no king. God was to be their king. And they were to abide by the laws of God as laid down in Scripture, which was interpreted by the judges. And thus the book is named Judges. But that goal of Israel to live under the rulership of God broke down because, as I said in the previous sermons, they had something in common with you and something in common with me. They didn't like to be told what to do. And so instead of following the law and the direction of God, they did what they each wanted to do. They did what was right in their own eye. And it led them every time into disaster. Our week one big idea was when you leave God out, disaster follows. And the story that we told in that first week of the series was one of the most horrific and brutal stories in all of the Bible. If you have a strong stomach and you missed that sermon, go back and listen to the podcast. Because that story, though not pleasant to hear, is one of the most powerful examples of what happens to a nation or an individual when you leave God out. And disaster follows. And then last week, we talked about the delusion that Israel lived under, as well as people still live under today, that you can leave God out and go your own way and find freedom. That there is freedom by deciding you're not going to do what God directs you to do, you're going to do what you want to do, and that's what freedom is, and that's not true at all. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for a person to have complete freedom and autonomy. Unless you can control your own birth and prevent your own death, which none of us can do, the possibility of finding total freedom and autonomy doesn't exist. So what really happens is that when you reject God as king, you simply trade one king for another. And our big idea last week was when you leave God out, you trade one king for another. And we said that there are all kinds of substitute kings that we can trade God for. There's the substitute king of appetite. There's the substitute king of greed. There's the substitute king of insecurity. There's the substitute king of our past and our family history, and on and on. Sometimes we don't even know we're serving those kings, but when we leave God out, we're going to simply trade him for another king, a substitute king, whether we realize it or not. And the problem with those substitute kings is that the substitute kings don't love you like God loves you. The substitute kings only want to control you. They only want to take away your freedom. And so when you leave God out and you trade one king for another, you have made a bad trade. And the central problem to all of this is found in the very last verse of the book of Judges. We've looked at it each week, Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people, look, did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And we see that today in the American culture. There was a time in our culture in which the American people, whether they were Christians or not, whether they believed the Bible or not, most people would have said, well, the good book is true. Some of you are old enough to remember that kind of silly statement. That was common in the culture. Well, the good book is true. And yet people today reject what the Bible has to say as if it has no authority. And so if the Bible is not right, if God is not right, then everybody just, like in the book of Judges, does what seems right in their own eyes. And it's created a culture that has become so selfish and so narcissistic that it has twisted the American dream. And I've called this the ugly underbelly of the American dream. And it is the idea, the philosophy, that freedom means this. It's my life. I can do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. And then we add this little caveat, as if this makes it noble and okay, as long as nobody gets hurt. But that's a delusion. Because if you live that way, it's my life, I can do what I want, when I want, with whom I want, somebody always gets hurt. Eventually, if you live this way, you will hurt yourself and you will hurt others. If you live your own way, rejecting God's way, you're going to hurt yourself, and you're going to hurt those who love you, and you're going to hurt those you love. If your parents are living, if you live that way, you will hurt your parents. If you have children, if you live that way, you will hurt your children. If you live that way with that kind of philosophy, you will hurt the people who come after you, not for one generation, but for several. And so having looked at all that for the last 2 weeks, it leads me to this question for today. If you've tuned out, tune back in for a moment. Let me ask you this question. Is that really the kind of life you want to live? Is that the kind of life you want to live? Do you really want to be just like everybody else? Is that the kind you want to live? What kind of person, let me put it this way, what kind of person, if you're a Christ follower, what kind of Christ follower do you want to be? Do you want to be mediocre and ordinary? When people talk about you, what do you want them to say? Think about this. When you were at Thanksgiving with your family, whether it was your house or you went to somebody else's house, and after it was all over and you were driving away, or if they were at your house, they were driving away and you were home, and they were talking about you, and by the way, they did, what did you want them to say? What did you want people to say about you? Did you want them to talk about somebody who was just mediocre and ordinary? Or would you rather they talk about somebody who's extraordinary? Now, I want to clarify something. I'm not talking about being extraordinary at something. There are a lot of people who are extraordinary at something. They're extraordinary at music, like our singers in band. Or they're extraordinary at athletics. Or they're extraordinary at academics. Or they're extraordinary at public speaking. Or they're extraordinary with some. I'm not talking about what kind of talent a person has. I'm talking about what kind of person they are. What kind of Christ follower they are. Wouldn't you rather be extraordinary? Now, some of you are hearing this, and especially some of our students, and maybe you're thinking, well, I am just ordinary. There's nothing extraordinary about me. I'm just completely ordinary. But here's what I want you to understand. If you are a Christ follower, if there has been a time that you opened your heart in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and you asked him to come into your heart, into your life, and you committed to be a follower of his, then here's what you need to understand. Not only were you created in the image of God, which every human being is, created in the image of God. Not only were you created in the image of God, you also were given a divine nature when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, and he put within you a destiny as his son or daughter. He created you to be more than mediocre, greater than ordinary. He created you to be extraordinary. But you have to claim that destiny. There is a condition, and here's our big idea for today, the one I don't want you to forget. When you leave God out, you miss becoming extraordinary. And you don't have to miss out. Let me ask you another question. How many times do you get to live your life? How many times do you get to live your life? Well, yeah, I mean, unless you believe in reincarnation and you think you're coming back as a cocker spaniel or something, the answer is pretty obvious, is it not? How many times do you get to live your life? Once. Just once. Not twice. Just once. And so since that is true about all of us, listen, why would you waste that chance? Why would you pass up the chance to be greater than mediocre, to be more than ordinary, but to be extraordinary? Why would you pass up that chance? Now, let me just say, if you're here today, or you're in the Resonate service, or you're watching online, or you're listening to a podcast, and you're not yet a Christ follower, let me just say, we're glad you're here, or we're glad you're listening. We welcome your questions. Maybe you haven't decided what you believe yet. Maybe you haven't decided what you think about church and God and the Bible and all that kind of stuff. You just don't know yet, and you're in the process of kind of thinking about it, trying to figure it out. We're glad you're listening. We're glad you're here. We welcome your questions. We care about you. Let me just say that the very first step in God's plan for you would be to invite Jesus Christ to become your Savior. It opens up a whole new realm of life. It opens up an eternal destiny for you. So stay tuned in if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, because I want you to get a glimpse of what you could be in the power of God if you entered into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're here today and you are a Christ follower, you know that there's been a time that you invited Jesus to become the Lord, the Master, the Ruler, the King of your life, as you just sang, then I want you to understand that you have a God who loved you, who redeemed you, who sent his Son for you, and he has a unique and special, extraordinary plan for you. And he put within you the person of the Holy Spirit to help you be able to live with his wisdom and his power every day. And so if you are a Christ follower, there's a question that I want to challenge you to ask every day of your life as you face a myriad of decisions and turning points in your life. Ask this question. In this instance, what would an extraordinary Christ follower do? What would an extraordinary Christ follower, how would that be different than what an ordinary, mediocre Jesus person would do? And if you will ask that question, listen, if you will ask that question and really want to know, and you will get clarity from God of what the answer should be to that question, what would an extraordinary Christ follower do? and you pray that God would give you the power to do that thing instead of the ordinary, it will change your life. It will change how you treat people. It will change how you treat your family. It will change how you handle your finances. It will change how you respond to temptation. If at every twist and turn in life, you would ask, what would an extraordinary Christ follower do here? And then when God gives you clarity to what that answer would be, to pray, God, give me the power to do that, to do that. This series in the book of Judges and the story of Israel in that season of their history where they did not have a human king, but instead God was their king. Israel had an extraordinary, amazing, historic opportunity. They could have become that nation in history that didn't have a human king. God was their king. And had they followed God as their king, they would have left an indelible mark on the history of mankind. But instead of seizing that historic opportunity, they blew it. They blew it. Instead of looking up to God, they looked around at the pagan culture around them, and they began to do, instead of what God would have them do, they began to do what seemed right in their own eyes. And they began to worship other gods. In fact, they began to worship gods that even sacrificed their own children on their pagan altars. And instead of becoming extraordinary, they became sinful. Listen, God created Israel to be extraordinary, but they chose to be ordinary and even worse. And can you see the application? If you're a Christ follower, He created you to be extraordinary. Why would you choose to be ordinary instead? Israel provides for us a lesson in tragedy, in that they didn't just make this mistake one time, but there was a repeated cycle. One biblical scholar said they did this 11 times in this 300-year period. They, instead of walking with God, slipped into disobedience, and their disobedience against God every time led to disaster. Until finally, after they lived in the backwash of their disaster long enough, they called out to God and finally got to deliverance. 11 times, disobedience to disaster until finally deliverance, until they repeated the cycle over again. So we're going to see a part of that as we go to Judges chapter 6. So if you have a copy of the scripture, you've been wondering, are we ever going to open the Bible? Here we are, Judges chapter 6. If you have your own copy, open it please. If you don't have a New Living Translation, there should be some, hopefully underneath some of the seats around you. Take it as our gift. Judges chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1. The Israelites, here they were again in the cycle, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat. Does this sound like disaster to you? They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock in tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. What a description of the disaster that their disobedience brought upon them. But then look at the last sentence of verse 6. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. You see, what had happened was that when Israel disobeyed and they rebelled against God, here's what they did. They walked out from under the protective covering of their God. When they chose to disobey and do what was right in their own eyes, they walked out from under the protective canopy of God's protection, and disaster was the result. And by the way, that happens to Christians all the time. They will walk out from under the protection of God by choosing to go their own way. I know what the Bible says. I know what the preacher says. I know what God says. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when we do that, we walk out from under the protective canopy of God's blessing. And when we do that, disaster always happens. And it's amazing. You know the question that is often asked? God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Some of you may be there. Some of you, your lives may be in a mess today, and you're asking, God, why is this happening to me? And I think sometimes God wants to say, well, why do you think it's happening to you? You wouldn't listen to me. You knew what I wanted you to do. It was clear, but you chose to do what you wanted to do, and when you did, you walked out from under my sheltering cover. And you were suffering for it. That's exactly what Israel did. And then God brings on the scene a man named Gideon, an ordinary man that God wants to do extraordinary things through his life. But in order for that to happen, don't miss this, in order for that to happen, God had to change Gideon's outlook about himself. Let's see the story, Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash in the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, it's important that you understand the setting here. You would process wheat, you would thresh wheat in that day by getting above ground, and they would take the wheat that had been harvested, or the grain that had been harvested, and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff and the husks, and the kernels of grain or wheat would fall to the ground. And that's how they would separate the chaff from the wheat. That's how they processed it. But that's not what Gideon was doing. Gideon was afraid that if he got above ground, as you needed really to do to process the wheat in that way, he would be seen by the Midianites. So he went down into a wine press below ground. He was hiding. He was hiding from the Midianites. Then look what happened, verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And when the angel says to Gideon, "Mighty hero," Gideon's looking around. Who's he talking to? He's trying to figure out who the angel is addressing. Mighty hero? I'm no mighty hero. I'm a coward. I'm hiding from the Midianites. And then Gideon says, "Well, I don't know about all this mighty hero stuff, but Mr. Angel, since you're here, I've got a question for you." Verse 13. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" He's asking the same question that everybody seems to ask when it's so obvious. "And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Gideon is basically saying, "Look, angel, I know we were rebellious. Okay, 7 years, I get it. But we've repented now. We've called out to the Lord. He promised to deliver us. How's he going to rescue us from the Midianites? I mean, how about fire from heaven? You know, the Elijah and prophets of Baal thing? That was awesome. How about you do that to those guys? Or how about the locust that you brought upon Pharaoh in Egypt? I mean, that was really cool. I'd like to see that. How are you going to do it? Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And Gideon, who? Me? Okay, I know God's not supposed to make mistakes and stuff, but Mr. Angel, I think you're at the wrong address. This is not me. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. He's saying, hey, angel, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. There's nothing special about me. Listen, I'm the very epitome of ordinary. And here's my point. That's exactly where some of you are. You think of yourself as completely ordinary, nothing special, nothing significant, nothing that God could really use in any powerful way. I'm just ordinary. And if you're a Christ follower and you think that, you've lost track. You've lost track of who you are. You've lost track of what he did in you and to you that day that you became his by faith. You've lost track of the power of God that he can pour into your life. You've lost track of the reality that you, by faith, are a son or a daughter of the living God. And it's time, here's the message for you today, it's time for you to stop thinking of yourself as ordinary. It's time for you to become an extraordinary follower of Jesus Christ. Here's what the Lord said to the bashful, timid, insecure Gideon. Verse 16, the Lord said to him, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. He's saying, Gideon, stop believing the lies about yourself. Start seeing yourself the way that I see you. And what God did through Gideon was amazing. We don't have time to go through it today. You should read your Bible. It's a great story of what God did through that timid, bashful, insecure person named Gideon. But the point is not just that this is what he did at a point in Israel's history to a man that we never knew. The point is this is what he wants to do through you. This is what he has for you. The Apostle Paul, centuries after Gideon had lived and died, the Apostle Paul understood this powerful principle and he wrote it to the believers in the city of Rome. We have it in the book of Romans chapter 8. Open your Bibles there. Romans 8, we'll begin with verse 31. Here's what Paul said to those believers. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And keep in mind, Paul didn't write this at a time that it was easy for Christians, where they lived in nice homes and drove dependable vehicles and had a warm place to live and money in the bank and life was easy and good. That's not the kind of context that Paul wrote this. He wrote it in first century Rome where a whacked out dictator named Nero was setting Christians on fire and throwing them to the lions. When Cindy and I visited Rome a couple of years ago, we went to the Roman Colosseum, where in those days Christians were being thrown onto the Colosseum floor and lions turned loose to eat them alive. It was not an easy time. Paul was not speaking from a point of comfort and ease. Paul was speaking faith into the lives of the Christians in a difficult season of history for Christians. God was saying through Paul to those Roman believers, and he is still saying it to Christ's followers today, I am for you. I am with you. You can do extraordinary things for me. You can be extraordinary. But the question is not, am I with you? The question is, are you with me? You see, what the angel told Gideon in private, God has announced to you, if you're a Christ follower, publicly. God has a plan to live in you and to do things through you you could never have dreamed possible. If you will surrender to Him, you will never discover this if you live doing what's right in your own eye. But you will find it if you sell out to Jesus Christ. You will never reach your full potential until you decide to live under the Lordship of Christ. If we decide to do what is right in our own eyes, the Midianites will invade our life every time. But God has a better plan. God wants to do extraordinary things through you. And extraordinary Christ followers live in the wisdom and the power of God, and their lives make a difference. So I want to wrap up this entire series with these three simple challenges. I hope you'll take them to heart. Number one, decide today that you won't settle for ordinary. Decide today not to be satisfied with mediocrity. Decide today that you want something different than just being ordinary. Why would you choose a life of mediocrity or even worse, danger and disaster when God has something so much better for you? He has a divine adventure for you to follow Him. Decide today you won't settle for ordinary. Number two, live with daily confidence that God is with you and for you. Quit believing the lie that you're ordinary. Quit believing that you are just insignificant and weak. Believe instead the God who loves you and who says, I am with you, I am for you, I am in you, and I want to do through you extraordinary things. Number three, and I hope this one sticks. Ask yourself often, what would an extraordinary Christ follower do? What would an extraordinary Christ follower do? And when God gives you clarity of what that would be, then pray the prayer, oh God, give me the power to do that. Don't settle for less. Don't leave God out. Because when you leave God out, you miss becoming extraordinary. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that every one of us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord would become extraordinary, more than mediocre, different than just ordinary, but that we would become mighty warriors, mighty heroes, that we would see the same power that turned Gideon from a coward into a courageous, mighty leader. Help us to know that that same power, that same wisdom is available to us, and that you want to do great things if we will just listen and follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.